All know the theme of Lent is repentance. It's a period leading up to the big celebration of the Christian church in ancient times and today, which is the resurrection, commonly called Easter in English, although it doesn't remotely sound like that in Hebrew or in any other language. It's actually the word Easter is a pagan term which comes from apparently some Druid ritual. But the period leading up to the Feast of the Resurrection, to Resurrection Sunday, is a time for self-reflection. We are admonished in Scripture. Paul says, examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. We're admonished to exercise a certain amount of introspection and to do a check as to where we are with God. In our Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Joel, we have one of the main reasons people repent. If you read the whole passage in context, it's because Israel was in trouble. And very often people become aware of God or become aware of their need to get right with God when things are not going along smoothly. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life. I think most of us, when we encounter difficulties, if we are believers, the first question we ask is, what am I doing wrong? Is there something, God, you're trying to tell me in this situation? Well, in the book of Joel, it is describing an invasion of Israel. I believe it's the same invasion, for those of you who come on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, that we've talked about a lot, that is described in Ezekiel 38, 39. It is an invasion of the land of Israel preceding the return of the Messiah, when Israel is living in apparent safety, as it says in Ezekiel, in a land of unwalled villages and at peace, or at apparent peace, when all of a sudden there is a confederation of nations. Now, these nations are actually mentioned by name, a lot of them, in Ezekiel. Who can remember some of the names of the countries that invade Israel? Well, there's one big one. Iran. Persia is mentioned by name. Also, Gog, chief prince of Rosh and Tubal, which a lot of people think refers to the power, the big power, immediately to the north of Israel. What's the big power? If you draw a line directly from Jerusalem due north, you run into Moscow. I don't think it's a mistake that right now, on the doorstep of Israel, you have the Russian army and the Russian air force and huge segments of the Iranian army. You have Iran's allies, Hamas, Hezbollah, all conglomerated in a Syria that has become a political and military vacuum, mainly because the United States refused to project its power there when we should have. And for that reason, the stage, I think, is set for this war, which is described in Ezekiel 38, 39, and is described in Joel. We don't have time tonight to go into all the details of this war, but what happens is there's a big confederation of nations that gang up on Israel. Israel is living in apparent safety or relative safety and security. And it has come back, according to Ezekiel 36, into the land in unbelief. The passage in Ezekiel 36 clearly describes the valley of dry bones. And the first occurrence is a restoration in the Valley of Dry Bones of the physical body. And then they ask the prophet, well, there's no life in these bodies. Where is the life? And the Holy Spirit comes on these bodies that have been restored from this, from bones, and they become alive. There is a clear promise in Scripture that before Jesus comes, Israel will acknowledge Jesus as their Messiah. That is what this passage in Joel is speaking about. It's speaking about this time that is that precedes the return of Jesus, this invasion from this assortment of nations, this confederacy of nations. Israel's back is to the wall. They look like they're going to be overrun. And what do? They call on the name of the Lord. And what is the promise of God? That all who call on the name of the Lord will what? Will be saved. And God pours out His Spirit, as we see later on in Joel. And this is quoted on the day of Pentecost. The days are coming when I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And the Holy Spirit is poured out on the house of Israel. At the end of Ezekiel 39, God says, I shall have poured out my Spirit on the house of Israel. God says that He will bring them all back from the four corners of the earth and restore them to their own land. He said, I will leave none of them behind any longer. Because God is a God who keeps His promises. He keeps His word. And when Israel calls on His name, God is there and He answers. He destroys this invading army supernaturally. And the people turn and recognize Jesus as their Messiah. Zechariah 12:10, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced and mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. They will acknowledge Jesus as their King and as their Messiah. And as Paul says in Romans 11, then all Israel will be saved. I believe that we're living right on the verge of these occurrences. And just as Israel is redeemed in an instant when they call on the name of the Lord, Lent is a time for us to remind ourselves of God's desire to redeem us, to set us on our feet, if we've grown cold in our faith. You know, it's a great expression in the King James Bible, and why the modern translators didn't keep it, I don't know, but it's backslidden. It's when we fall away from that first love. You know, Jesus admonished in the book of Revelation the church that lost its first love. I have this against you, that you don't love me like you did in the beginning. And there are many of us who find ourselves growing cold in our relationship with Him. Jesus said, look, get off the fence. Be either hot or cold, but not lukewarm. Because you're lukewarm, I'm going to, and the expression is, literally vomit you out of my mouth. They clean it up and say spew out of my mouth in most of the translations. But it means literally to vomit. So God is calling us, I think, not just during Lent, but all the time, to remember His desire to restore us, to renew us, to, as David wrote in Psalm 51 after he had sinned big time with Bathsheba, he said, renew in me a clean heart, restore a right spirit within me. We're okay in here. Let's hope that's not a tornado alarm, but as might be. Anyway, let's remember, okay, whatever's coming, that we need to get right with God. Now, in 2 Corinthians, in the passage of 2 Corinthians, we read, you know, when is the time to get right with God? Now. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time to get off the fence. Now is the time to quit equivocating. As Elijah said when he confronted the prophets of Baal, and the people were kind of wishy-washy. They didn't know which way to go. And he said, why are you hesitating between two opinions? decide. That's something for all of us to do, and I think we do it more than once. I think we have to decide constantly that we are going to continue our walk with the Lord, that we're going to recommit ourselves to Him, that this is serious. This is not just a game. It's not just appellative. It's not something to make us feel better about ourselves. But this has to do with eternal life and death. So what we can take away in that wonderful Psalm 103, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. I read last night to the Tuesday night group the Confession and the Absolution from the 1928 Book of Common Prayer and Morning Prayer. God, who desires not the death of a sinner, but rather that he should turn from his wickedness and live. That's what he wants for all of us. He wants us to turn now, to call on his name, to receive that forgiveness. Now, we will be reminded in a minute when we come forward and as you receive the imposition of ashes of our mortality. Most of us don't need reminding of that, but the younger you are, I think the more you need reminding of that. From dust you came, and to dust you shall return. And that what awaits us, though, is not an eternity of dust, but what awaits us is something far beyond anything that we can even dream or imagine. Eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. And I pray tonight that he will give us a glimpse of that, of his love for us, of his desire to embrace us, to restore us, to renew us in him. Amen. Let's take a moment to be quiet.